What is going on, all you rowdy baseball fans? Welcome back to another episode of At the Corner. I'm your host, Zach, and like y'all know, I'm going to be joined by Chuck here in just a minute or two, and I'm going to apologize up front for this episode. This one's kind of rough. There's a reason that Chuck and I try to record these on the weekends. Both of us are pretty busy during the week, and it is a bit of a lot to sit down and record these during the week. With that being said, we still did it. We had a lot of good stuff to talk about. Our banter is not at its best. Chuck and I are pretty tired. It's about 10:30 p.m. on a Wednesday evening as I'm editing this. But nonetheless, we're here. We're going to recap on some very positive stuff from the Cardinals series. We're going to talk about the very recently wrapped up Orioles series. And we answered the mailbag that y'all sent us. Lots of good stuff all around. And I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you, as always, for listening. And I will see y'all next time. Enjoy. You're listening to At the Corner, a Cleveland Guardians podcast by Zach Caldwell and Chuck B.
Fastball hit in the air. A swing and a drive! Away back! Boom!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is At the Corner. And got a little bit of a later week episode for y'all. Life happens and stuff gets busy. Chuck and I have been busy this week, but we found time to sit down. You guys know it as always. I'm joined by my co-host Chuck. Chuck, how are you, buddy? I think we're both pretty tired, and it's only Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm pretty exhausted. Had a lot of stuff going on for me this week. But that game today, man, holy shit, that was a game.
First off, who in the MLB scheduling office thought that a 3 p.m. start on a Wednesday would be a good start for a game? That was what stuck out to me, because the game was in the sixth inning, and I sent out a tweet. It's like, how is this game only in the sixth inning? The game was long. There was a crap ton of offense. So we were originally going to do the Cards series, and we were going to record this on Monday, but we do not have time to do both. So we could talk about some positives from the Cardinals series. Personally, I don't think the Cards series is bad. Maybe there was a lot of, you could say for both teams, the Cardinals and the Guardians both left a lot of runners on base in that series. Ultimately, Cleveland gets a dub, but I really think what we need to talk about most is that Jose Ramirez walk-off on Sunday. I really think that may have given the team some life, and we're seeing that play out as the week has gone on. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. That if we lose that game, the status quo stays the same. We lose the series. But Jose coming through with two outs off Hensley, a very good closer. I think it was 100-mile-per-hour fastball that he got.
It was. And he had just in the previous pitch thrown 102-mile-an-hour fastball that was a little low.
Yeah, and it went right in the middle of the gap, and
Posey knew it as soon as he hit it.
Changed the entire. I don't want to say it could turn around the season because it's too early for that, but it definitely changed. It gave us some life and energy that we desperately needed.
I think everybody needed it.
I personally needed it.
I know. I was just thinking that. I think everybody needed it. I think everybody was at that point where you just, like, as fans, you wanted it so bad. Like, the table was set for you, and the feast is there for your franchise player, and he delivers. And Hosey shows, like, no matter what type of season he's having, he is having a bit of a down year, especially for his standards. You know, he's still rocking a ridiculous, like, 120. We're back after a brief intermission. We were just talking about how in the Cardinals game on Sunday, the table was set for Jose Ramirez, and Chuck was talking about how the fan base desperately needed that breath of fresh air, and how
the whole fan base, the team, the coaches, yes. everybody knew that.
And who better than Jose to do it? One of the best fastball hitters in the league. You know, he's having a little bit of an off season by what we've come to expect from him, which is around a 140 WRC plus clip. He's still hitting it for like 122. I have a feeling he'll be fine. The whole team has started to look better.
The slugging hasn't been there,
but the clutch gene doesn't go away.
Yeah, but he's not having a bad year. It's like
maybe just a little bit less than we've become accustomed to.
It's an above average year, but it's not like that MVP candidate year that a lot of needs from him.
No.
Which isn't totally fair, but
you know what, though?
I think that's usually what it is.
I think he's on his way to figuring it out. And like we're going to talk about with the Orioles series, I think the whole team has collectively, just save for a couple of people, figured it out. We literally just saw the Guardians. I'm going to go out on a limb. Full disclosure, I haven't done my research on this, but I'm pretty sure this was one of our best offensive series of the year. And this is against a damn good Orioles team that is 14 games over 500 and an extremely competitive NL East. So we got the positive from the Cardinals series. There was good pitching in that series. There was good hitting. Hosey ends up sending everybody home. Happy Sunday. Rolls straight into a three-game series against the Birds at Camden Yards. And we're going to go right to Monday. Monday, pretty good. Guards win 5-0. It was it was pretty dang nice to watch them win a game by more than one run where it wasn't close the entire way. 5 runs, 9 hits in an error for Cleveland. No runs, 5 hits. And 2 errors for the Birds. Offense aside, the highlight for me in this one is Logan Allen.
You can't really go anywhere else. He was that great. Logan
dude,
Allen was phenomenal.
He was the real deal. Allen went 7 innings, 3 hits, walked 2, struck out 10, and he looked dynamite from the get-go. He never really struggled with command. I mean, Cam was putting the glove out and Allen was hitting it. You know, Scott Bibee tweeted out that he thinks Cam Gallagher plays a big part in catching the young guys and, you know, calling a good game for them. But, you know, that goes both ways for those guys. Guards get it done. 5-0. Bullpen gets a pretty easy night. Delos Santos and Stefan both pitch an inning. 5 hits, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts total. Across the lineup card, Kwan was 2 for 5. I mean, nothing really sticks out to this.
It's a weird game offensively. When you score 5 runs, you think, oh, this guy played well. It really wasn't like that.
No, I mean, Kwan had 2 hits. Jose had 1. Jose DH'd in this game, and Arias played 3rd. And then Brennan was 3 for 4, and Gallagher was 2 for 3.
Yeah. That's just like, there was no, like, you know, crazy performance from us to get 5 runs, but it was but Logan Allen really was the story in this one. He really is phenomenal. Command was incredible. The fastball was incredible. The sweeper, the changeup, it's all working for him. He just seems very crafty for a young player. He just seems very in control of what he's doing. He's a very smart pitcher. He has a great feel for the game.
He does, and his profile is one that tends to lend itself to a career filled with longevity of just absolute dynamite. You know, he's got good movement on his stuff. He's got a good fastball. You know, he doesn't throw 98, 99, but he's got plus command on 3 of his pitches, and he can throw them all for strikes, and he can make you swing and miss at all of them. And for a left-handed pitcher that throws a sweeper, that's terrible, because if you're a left-handed hitter, that pitch is running away from you. If you're a right-handed hitter, it's running in on your hands. The pitch is gross. The kid is great. He's been as advertised. I think arguably he's probably better than a lot of people thought that he could be, and I don't even think we've seen what his ceiling really is. I think there's more in the tank from him. You know, we're not done. All in all, this was a nice game, especially from the fan perspective of, we just came off a huge win Sunday versus the Cardinals in a close game. It was nice to kind of relax, watch the boys do their thing, and get a comfortable victory for a change.
Yeah, that was nice to see. I don't remember the last time they had like a game where they like didn't have to use the bullpen in a one-run game. It was nice. It was just nice.
We weren't
to have
burning
that.
Like 4 innings out of the bullpen across 3 games. You know, 4 innings every night for 3 games. I don't really have anything particular from this game. Brennan looked really good, which is crazy because the following night he looked really bad. Brennan was 3 for 4. He didn't have, I actually thought he did have RBIs. He actually didn't. Gallagher had 2 of the RBIs, and Kwan had 1. Yeah, that's right. 2 of these runs are unearned in this game. So there's only 3 RBIs total because there was an error. I forgot about that. I really have anything from this game. This was nice on a Monday to sit down and watch the boys just do their thing. We got to go to Tuesday's game. I thought Cleveland was going to scrap their way back into this one. Guards lose 5-8 or 8-5.
I didn't. The game was just so bad to start off. I was,
you know what,
so
upset. you can't even trounce the offense because they again scored 5 runs on 11 hits. Baltimore scored 8 on 11, and the stinker in this one is from Cal Quantrill, and I hate this because I like Cal. I've defended Cal publicly. I've always been a guy that has said he's a pitcher that plays below his expected numbers. That is not the case this year. His expected numbers look very much like what we're seeing from him, and I think Cal's regressed to the mean a little bit. Was this Cal's last start in the rotation?
We might get into that later.
Yeah, I think we've got a question about that. We can talk about that a little later.
From a pitching perspective, it was just a terrible game.
Yeah, Cal didn't even go 5. He went 4 1/3, 8 runs, 8 hits. But he only walked 2, and he struck out 3. So he gave up hard contact.
The location was horrible for Cal.
Yeah, his command was pretty bad.
I don't want to. Do you think maybe it was the whole? It was in the back of his mind the whole rotation, all the rotation stuff. Maybe he was pitching a bit with some pressure on himself.
So Tito said in the post game, he said he thought that Cal went out and was a little too amped in the first inning. You know, he was throwing hard. He was throwing 94, 95. But just the command was not there, like you said, and that's. Cal's a dude that he is effective with what he has as long as he can locate his pitches. And he just didn't have it. And, you know, you look at the line score, you know, 8 runs, 8 hits. He didn't give up any free passes. The Orioles earned all these runs, 2 walks and 8 runs. Guys, they hit the piss out of the ball. And, you know, that's no trash to Cal. I mean, Bieber got knocked around today, for God's sake. But the Orioles are a good team. They have really good hitters. They have Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and, you know, a list of a multitude of players that just smash the baseball. They're an extremely competitive team. That's what they do. But they can be limited, and we saw that on Monday night. Now, granted, that Orioles lineup did not have Henderson or Rutschman in it, but, you know, you take them where you can get them. And it stinks because for a team that is struggling to produce runs offensively, this is another one of those things that's been talked about ad nauseum, where just bad sequencing. The offense scores 5 runs, and they scored runs all throughout the game. It's not like they scored 5 runs in an inning and they stopped. They scored 1, and they scored 2 in the 6th, and then they scored 2 in the 7th. So they were producing offensively. It's just by that point, the game was gone, you know. And Tito talked about that today in the pregame show, you know, with some of the usage of Class A yesterday. Everybody was wondering, why the hell are we using Class A in a burner game? You could ask the same question, why the hell did we use Class A today in a burner game with 4 games coming up against the Twins? I don't know. I blame this one on bad sequencing. Maybe Cal was in his head a little bit. Personally, I'll say it. I think he felt like he was pitching for his job because he's the odd man out. He and Plesac have both not been what you need, and I think you got to give Savali a chance when he comes back and Cal's the odd man out. You can't send Bybee and Allen down. You just can't. Oh, Chuck, let me get your thoughts on this game. Chuck, where are you at on how things panned out in game 2? Lots of weird stuff.
It kind of was sad to me. Quantrill usually delivers 6 innings. He's like that classic innings eater, fourth, fifth starter. This is back-to-back games of 6 runs or more. And it was just sad to me. He just didn't have it from the get-go in terms of his command and location. And, yeah, this really could be the last start we see of Cal Quantrill in the rotation for now.
So the question is, I mean, like, I don't envy the front office. We'll get into this later, but what the heck do they do with them? I think his upside is good enough out of the pen, but of course that means Somebody has to go. All in all, weird
if
game.
If it was me, wait,
Syracuse
do we have a
falls.
question about this?
I'm not sure, but we can get to it at the end anyway, because it's definitely something we need to talk about, because the team's going to have to make a flurry of roster moves this weekend, actually, because Tristan McKenzie is, I'm pretty sure Tristan's flying. The series is in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tristan's flying to Minneapolis tonight to rejoin the team. His start was cut short yesterday by a rainout. He only ended up going 3 innings because of the rain. So Tito in the pregame said they weren't exactly sure what they were going to do with him because they didn't get the length out of him that they wanted. They wanted him to throw about 80 pitches, and he didn't get anywhere near that. But he said Tristan is rejoining the team, and they'll have a plan for him. So just a weird game. I didn't like the use of Class A in this game. They wanted to get him work. Tito said that they wanted to get him work regardless because he hadn't been worked, and then they were climbing back into the game, and it changed some of his managerial strategy. And, you know, that's fine. They thought they were out of it at one point. The game ended up being a lot closer than I think a lot of us thought it would. But there's really no sense in beating a dead horse. The bullpen came in and did its job. Karinchak used in a low-leverage situation. He looked a lot more comfortable, and I think that's where he needs to stay. But all in all, I mean, this game was just kind of a rotten egg, unfortunately. Really sucks when you have to play from behind when you're losing 7-0 in the second inning.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about from today. This was my favorite game so far of this season. Don't at me. Don't come in my Twitter mentions. Yes, there's 162 games in a baseball season. I'm aware. However, guards scored early on the guards should have been up 2-0 in the first inning. If you go back and watch the replay, the ball clearly went out of play on the throw to the plate. Jose should have been awarded home. It should have been 2-0. Cleveland challenged. They lost. Stinks. That's fine. You get a run either way. Kwan got on. Jose got him in. And then you immediately go down 4-1. What was up with Bieber in this game? I don't know if it was maybe a bit of bad BABIP luck. His line is pretty bad. 4 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts.
There's a lot of weird luck stuff in there. Some bloops.
There's also some very bad defense from Ahmed Rosario in there that continued an inning on a ground ball that Adley Rutschman hit that he beat out for a single that should have been an out. I don't know how Rosario did not get charged with an error on that play, because there's no way the scorer should have looked at that and been like, oh yeah, there's a reasonable expectation that no, he's not going to get a base hit in that situation. He shouldn't get a base hit in that situation.
Can
that's an error.
Just play Gabriel Arias at shortstop tomorrow?
No, he's our new right fielder. You got to have outfield pop somewhere. Ahmed could go 0 for his next 60, and he will be in the number 2 spot in the lineup card every single day. Book it. Doesn't matter. That's just where we're at. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a fact. I have complained on this podcast about the use of Ahmed Rosario 100 times. I'm done complaining about it because it's annoying. Nothing is going to change. He's going to be in the 2-hole. Everybody, the hit parade was out today. Go look at the box score. Kwan was 3-for-6. Ramirez was 3-for-6. Naylor was 4-for-6 with 6 RBIs. Bell had a home run and was 1-for-4. You'd love to see that. Arias was 1-for-3 and had the huge moonshot home run. Heamy had a very cool 4-for-5, kind of under the radar, but had 2 RBIs. And Gallagher was 1-for-5. The only guys in this lineup card that did not hit today, Ahmed Rosario and Miles Straw. And even then, Straw walked. And I mean, so did Rosario. But I mean, we know what he is. He's an 85 WRC plus player that plays gold glove defense.
I thought Jimenez's hit in the third inning, we were down 4-1, and that usually spells the end of us. And it was 2 outs. Ahmed Rosario had runners on, I think it was second and third. I mean, Jimenez had runners on second and third, and he comes through with an RBI, with the 2 RBI double. I thought that may have been one of the biggest hits in the game, because we don't come back when we're down 4-1. That's usually it. And that made it 4-3. And then we all know what happened after that. But I thought that hit of Andrés Giménez was a really, really big hit in this game.
I think you're thinking of Heaney's single in the top of the third.
Yeah, top. Yeah, it wasn't a double. It was the top of the third, yeah.
Yep, Hosey and Josh scored. It put Josh Bell at third. It was a really good hit.
I thought that base hit by Giménez with two outs, I thought that was the biggest hit of the game to me.
I agree. Aside from Naylor's absolute blast, I think you're right. And you know what? Giménez looked a lot more comfortable in the plate. We saw him
because
go
if he
to...
doesn't get a hit after the, if he doesn't get that hit, we could be sailing in no man's land for the next few innings. You know,
we could be sailing in no man's land for the rest of the game.
Yeah. So I thought
in this game,
he paid it back to one run game was huge.
Yep, and this game had a weird vibe too. Baltimore used an opener for a pitcher, and you just
what
got
were
the
they
sense.
Doing?
I have no idea because
who came up with that plan?
I don't know because they had a guy that was originally supposed to start today's game that ended up coming in the second inning anyway. And this game just had a weird aura around it. I had a feeling after the guards scored the two in the third inning off of that Heaney double that this was going to be an offensive slugfest, and I was not
the
wrong.
Orioles used seven pitchers.
It was a bullpen
gave
game.
Up, they gave up. This is insane. Seven pitchers?
Yep.
17 hits allowed.
Yep.
That is wild. And only two of those pitchers didn't give up an earned run.
Yep.
That is wild. That's wild. That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure Baltimore threw a bullpen game because they have an off day tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of longevity that gives you after you just ran through your bullpen in a game that you lost.
I just didn't understand the game
plan. I didn't either.
It was weird.
I mean, Giménez looked a lot more comfortable in this game. 4-for-5. We saw him go to both fields. And
it was very nice to see.
I cannot
very, very
remember
nice.
For the life of me who
I
said it.
I texted you that.
Yep,
this team needs Andrés Giménez to be successful.
Yep. He needs to be back
forget
at that
the
120 WRC
like,
plus.
Forget the contract extension. He is just so important to this team's success.
He is,
like,
because
bottom line.
He plays such a crucial part in the middle part of the order and getting on and getting guys in and setting up the guys behind him. And I cannot remember who said it. I think it was in the TV broadcast. They talked about, no, it was in the radio broadcast. They talked about Chris Valaika working with him and trying to get him to slow down. They said he was tinkering with his approach too much. He was tinkering with his stance. Valaika gave him a set stance to use where he widened his stance just a little bit, no matter what. And that allows him to stay on the ball that's away and drive it the opposite way. And it allows him to get his hands around on pitches inside and pull the ball and stay even through the whole thing. And you saw that play out today because you saw him go the other way. You saw him go up the middle. You saw him pull the ball. I mean, 4-for-5, guys, that's such a huge sign of life out of somebody that has clearly been floundering. And everybody has said it. Giménez would be fine. He's young. This is a sign that the Guardians coaching staff does know what they're doing. You don't make drastic changes because someone's struggling. You make little approach changes. You tweak tiny things. And eventually you get the right recipe.
Gabriel Arias had a nuke also. That was cool.
Oh, my goodness. That ball was walloped.
He might be our third best power hitter, which is kind of sad, but I think it's
And
true.
You know what? The crazy thing is, like, as much as I love Arias, him being successful in right field, and he's looked better defensively the more that he's played out there. He doesn't look quite like the traffic cone that Oscar Gonzalez can be at times. He's got a cannon, which you like in right field. Keep hitters honest on, you know, plays at second, plays at the plate. But if he is really coming into his power and his patience is developing, which you're seeing him take better at bats. If he can give you that power, he has to be your everyday starting right fielder. He has to. Oscar Gonzalez be damned. And I hate that because I like Oscar. Maybe you swap Oscar and Brennan.
He has a 683 OPS while batting 198. And Josh Bell has a 680 OPS. Gabriel Arias might be our third best power hitter.
Yep, and he's been tapping into his power more recently than not.
And he's also been getting on base a lot. He's drawing a lot of walks in the past month, which is huge.
That but is huge, God, because the concern about his profile has always been his strikeout percentage.
Today's not a day to be cynical about Josh Bell's slugging, because he had a nice golf swing also that
especially
got out
to that stupid new left field porch in Camden Yards. The thing is ridiculous, by the way. I hate that.
But this is crazy. Gabriel Arias is fourth on the team in OPS. That's like wild.
Yep. And I think his OPS is going to get better too. I think you're really seeing him start to come into his prowess. Something we didn't talk about. Yeah, I think Arias got the start today because Brennan got trashed around last night. Brennan got ate up in right field all night long. He had three or four plays.
I would like to see Brennan center a lot more.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those Tito factors where Miles Straw just has to get 600 bats this year. So, yeah, I'm not getting my hopes up.
Nope. And Miles Straw should, by all intents and purposes and by analysis, he should be your fourth outfielder. He can probably play any outfield position. You can use him as a late pinch runner. They won't do that. I don't know if it's because of the contract that he's on or they feel like they're paying a guy to ride a bench, which they're paying guys to ride the bench right now. Side note, if y'all see Tyler Freeman, please call the National Missing Persons Hotline. That man has not been seen consistently, and we're not sure if he's been kidnapped, if he's gone missing in action. Maybe he missed the team flight to Baltimore. Who knows? But if you see him, give us a call and let us know, because we're looking for him just as much as you guys are. All in all, from this game, I think what really stuck out to me is just this game had that feeling that we grew so accustomed to last year, where it didn't feel like the team was out of it. They fell behind early 4-1. They battled back. They brought it within a run. And then, bam, top of the fourth, three runs. Didn't help that Bieber gave up two in the bottom of the fourth. And then the fifth inning, bam, there's the big one. Five-run inning. Josh Naylor goes absolutely nuts in this game. Homers in the fourth inning, Bell homers. Fifth inning, Naylor doubles, clears the bases. And then
Arias with the home run.
Yep, Arias with the absolute nuke shot to the Guardians' bullpen in left field. That would not be all, as Naylor wasn't done yet. Naylor singled in the seventh inning, and he drove in Hosey. Gives you your final score of 12-8.
It's no shock to me that Kwan also had three hits in this game and three runs.
Yep.
He needs to get on base. He just has to get on base for this offense to like have a chance.
You know what, though? He struggled in May last year, too.
Right.
He had a really bad May. But
he has a 691 OPS. It's not like disastrous.
It's not terrible.
But
I mean, you can live with
that, though.
He
hasn't been the same player he was last year so far, that's all.
No, and maybe, you know, maybe this is a sign of good things to come. They say hitting is contagious. You know, one guy catches the fever and everybody wants to go up and hit. And you saw that today. I mean, the Guardians looked like they were excited to hit. That's the energy you want. That's the energy this lineup needs. Hosey's going to go out and do his thing every day. Kwan is going to be a stud leadoff hitter. He's going to take pitches. He's going to work walks. He's going to make pitchers throw him competitive pitches. What you need in this lineup is what you saw today from guys like Naylor, Bell. Bell had a golf shot home run. Oh my goodness. It looked like he was at the driving range at tee time. And for those of you who don't know, that new left field dimension at Camden Yards is no joke. The reason they changed that dimension is because of how home run happy left field was for right-handed hitters. That's why they changed it. And he still hit it out. It didn't even look like he swung the dang bat. I think you said it in an episode a couple months ago. It just looks like he flicks the ball. It doesn't even look like he swings. He just, whoop, there goes. 400 feet plus.
Yeah.
And you need that from Bell. You need Arias. You know, he only had the one hit today, but it was the big one, along with the Naylor home run. Jimenez, 4-for-5. You need that. He's not going to go 4-for-5 every day, but if he gets 5 at bats and he goes 2-for-5 and sometimes 3-for-4, you'll take that, especially in the bottom part of the lineup card, because I think we can safely say for the last month, the bottom part of this lineup has been abysmal. Whether it's Zanino in the catcher spot, Jimenez trying to make productive outs instead of swinging the bat, and Straw looking at strike three a majority of the time.
Having the catcher position and then right before Miles Straw is just a disaster. It's just like nothing's going to happen out of that.
No, nothing's going to happen at all. But then if you bat Straw in front of him and Straw walks, batting the catcher behind him is not very good either.
No, I know. They just got to figure something out. You can't have an automatic out at 8-9 every day. You just can't. You can't win games. It's hard to win.
I think the clock is ticking.
It's hard to win, Zach. It's hard to win games like that.
I know, especially when you pretty much have two guaranteed outs or maybe a walk and a double play, you know, before your leadoff man who's a high on base guy. You don't want that. I agree with you. 110%.
Couple things on the bullpen hand. Angel De Los Santos is officially our setup man. He is having an incredible season.
I worry that Tito's going to burn him out.
Probably, but he's right currently probably our third best reliever after Stefan. Probably our second best reliever after Stefan because Class A has been weird. He also got an appearance today, which made no sense to me. But I just want to say, Angel De Los Santos, he's always been my favorite pitcher. I told you that for a while. He deserves a lot of credit, and he's probably it's De Los Santos, Stefan, and Class A. That's how we're closing up games these days. That's how it has to be.
Yep, I agree with you. I think, and this ended up being a bullpen game for Cleveland too. Side note: Curry gets his second win. That was sweet. He only pitched an inning, which I thought was a little interesting. I thought when Curry came in that he was gonna be the dude. I mean, Bieber only pitched four, so I thought he was gonna go into the seventh.
He threw three innings on Sunday, and then he had 21 pitches in the appearance today. I think that was just Bieber was just got so lit up. It just was enough at this point. So I think they needed Curry to bridge out. They probably wanted him to pitch two innings, but once he threw 21 pitches, they probably just didn't want to use him again.
Yep, and Curry only gave up one. You can live with that. He's been solid all year. He's rocking a 2.45 ERA, and he's been an inning eater. So, you know, they say reliever ERA doesn't matter, but when you have a larger sample size on a guy this early in the season, because Curry has been the mop-up man, dude, he's been solid. Got his first win on Sunday in that game versus the Cardinals. We didn't even mention that. That's your player of the week for me, because Curry came in and what appeared to be garbage time and kept the game close. He ate three innings, did not give up any runs, gave his team a chance to win it, came out was solid today, gave up a run, but that's no big deal. You can live with that. It's not like he's given up four or five. Gets his second major league victory. The dude is a gamer. His quote after the game on Sunday, did you see that? It was absolutely money. And he said, "Pressure either bursts pipes or makes diamonds, and I like to shine." I love that. You can't make up that kind of confidence in a kid. And you were big on him. I'll give you your flowers. You were big on Curry all last year. Said he deserved his shot. And, you know, maybe it's not in the way we imagined where he's in the starting rotation, but he has found a home in that bullpen and they cannot move him out of it. He is way too valuable and has solidified himself.
Yeah, so that's it for me today on this game.
Yep. Yeah, I think I'm good for this game. All in all, good stuff all around. You don't like to see the pitching give up eight runs, especially you don't like to see Bieber get banged around. I think he'll be okay. Everybody has a rotten egg start every once in a while, but it is what it is. You can live with that. With that being said, I think we have a couple of questions to answer. I don't think we have a particular large amount of them this week, but we got some good talking points that we can touch on. So we'll go straight into it if you're ready.
Yeah.
All right. Isaac asked us, does Bieber get moved when Sticks and Savali come back? I really just can't see them sending down Bibee or Allen. It would be a crime. Do I think Bieber gets moved? Probably not. It's still too early to trade somebody. I think Cal's the odd man out.
So these trades don't happen until like July. Like, yep. No, like they're never trades in like
Nobody is true. Nobody's truly like out of contention yet. Like, we don't know like who's buyers and who's sellers right now.
I think Bieber being traded this season is strictly about where they are in the standings. But I think he is. So that's going to, it all depends about how many games back there are of the division. But he 100% will be traded this offseason, guaranteed.
Yeah, at minimum. And I don't think they trade him if they're in contention. I just wrote a huge trade diary on, you know, young prospects they could target that would give them some thump in the outfield spot. And, you know, a lot of that revolves around trading Bieber to teams that need pitching. But the thing is, a lot of that is all subjective because we don't know if those teams are going to be contenders in 2 months or if they're going to be out of it and they're going to commit to just giving young guys playing time. Yeah, that happens a lot. You'll see teams, if they fall out of it by the trade deadline, they may not sell. They may move a couple veteran pieces and bring up some young guys to give them experience for next year, so on and so forth. I think Cal's the odd man out. Sticks and Savali will be in. You'll have Bieber, Bybee, Allen, McKenzie, and Savali. I think that's strictly just because you have to give Savali a chance to see what he can give you. I really hope he can stay healthy. The poor man is made out of toothpicks and toothpaste. But, you know, when he's good, he's good. That game last year in August he had where he struck out 10 against the Twins, that's his ceiling. You hope he can be that. Alyssa said, I'm very interested in seeing what our starting rotation will look like. And I think today LTA proved he has a spot on it. I sent out this tweet after the game on Monday. I don't know, Chuck. Do you think? I don't think they can send down either Bybee or Allen.
No, they can't. They can't. That ship has sailed. They cannot send Logan T. Allen down. They can't. They can't do it. And Tanner Bybee looks like our second best pitcher right now. That they can't. They absolutely cannot send Bybee or Allen down. This is decision has been made already.
And I think the decision with the pitching staff was made before Cal's start today. I think the team knew what they were going to do before Cal even went out to do his thing today. Like, honestly.
Zach, what do you think of this? I saw a tweet. This really made me think. In back-to-back games, a Cleveland start by Matt Retz. In back-to-back bangs with games, a Cleveland starter didn't make it out of the fifth inning, and we didn't see Nick Sandlin in either game. He's pitched 4 innings since May 15th. It makes you wonder a little bit. Is he the one that's going to go down when McKenzie gets back? I thought it was weird that we didn't see Sandlin in the last two games.
So Sandlin is my candidate for the odd man out if they decide to move Cal to the bullpen.
He's pitched well recently, to be fair.
He has, but the thing is, his command is always his struggle. If you go to Sandlin and he comes out and his command is not on, he's going to walk two or three guys every time. And I think that downside is enough that they like Cal out of the pen better. I think Sandlin, I don't know if there's a big enough sample size to say that we truly know what he is, but maybe their lack of usage for him suggests that, you know, Sandlin might be headed down.
Well, they there was something weird about Hunter Gaddis yesterday that he was being told he's being moved to the bullpen. Okay. And it sounds like he's going to stay with the team when Savali gets activated. That's what they made it sound like.
I have no possible imagination for how they're going to make this work. It's a good problem to have.
Maybe Sandlin and Karinchak then? It makes no sense to me, but weird.
I mean, Karinchak needs time to go to Columbus and get his mind right. He needs to go down and he needs to work on throwing competitive pitches with the pitch clock. The reality is we have gotten out of James Karinchak what he was before the sticky stuff ban. And that's that. His fastball spin is down. His curveball command has gone completely out the window because he can't grip the dang ball the way that Major League Baseball wants him to. And you can argue all you want about baseball needs to protect the balls. Yeah, we don't. To save pitcher's health, the ball, if you've ever gripped a brand new baseball, that thing is, you can't throw it the way it's supposed to be thrown. It has to be muddied. They need to come up with a way to do it. To crack down on this, just pre-tack the balls with something that doesn't affect the spin, give the pitchers a good grip. But we've gotten out of Karinchak what he is, unfortunately, and I think that's that. Send him down to Columbus and keep him there, honestly. You need depth. Columbus does not have a lot of major league bullpen depth. And this is a good problem to have. You know, Karinchak can strike out the side. He's also going to walk the bases loaded and maybe give up a grand slam or give up a home run or two. That's fine. That's not a guy you need on your team right now. And if he turns it around and figures it out, then fine.
All right, enough talk about Karinchak. I'm getting upset.
Yeah, I think he needs to go. He's probably gone. As for what our rotation looks like, Alyss, I have no idea, honestly. I do not envy the front office. They have whatever methodology they're going to use to figure it out, and we're along for the ride, and we'll talk about it when they reveal it. Nicole asked us, was the bird sacrifice the answer to this team's woes?
No, I'm not into that stuff.
Well, who knows? Maybe. I think, I don't know. Maybe it was a little bit of an omen. Who knows? Every team has a moment. I think the answer to the team's woes right now has been the injection of life from Posey walking off the game on Sunday. And, you know, just hit parade. Everybody's swinging the bat well, and guys are starting to figure it out. Baseball's all about getting hot at the right time, and the division is by no means out of reach. So Reese asked us, Reese is new. Reese, this is a first-time question. Hi, Reese. He asked, of all the bullpen arms we have right now, who would you trust the most to make a very good bacon and spinach quiche? So who is the best cook out of all of our bullpen arms?
I'll go Eli Morgan.
You know what? I was going to go either Eli Morgan or Nick Sandlin, surprisingly. Sandlin strikes me as that guy that, you know, might wake up and do like a greens smoothie in the morning. I don't know.
What
Definitely,
the hell are we talking about?
I did tell people to ask us questions. Sometimes people ask us some fun ones. I like it. And then Benihana asked us, with the speculation of no six man in the rotation, I think we can say that's all but confirmed now. Tito hates that. Who do we see being sent away? We've already kind of touched on that. Also, are we back? So this question was sent on the 29th. This was
sent to us Monday.
Not yet.
Maybe not after yet. Sunday. If they go 3-1 versus Minnesota, then we might be back. But I think Karinchak has to be going down. I do.
He's just not valuable. He doesn't give you anything right now. You can only use him in low leverage situations.
Would your bullpen have Quantrill and Hunter Gaddis? That's and Xavion Curry. That's three long men.
That's ridiculous. Well, and at this point in the season, Cal is stretched out as a starter. He's been throwing 60, 70, 80 pitches.
Is there any chance they option Cal Quantrill? Because I think he's more valuable to them as a starter.
I don't know. I don't know how many option years Cal has left. Let me pop on Fangraphs real quick. I think he does have an option year. He's probably got two option years, honestly. And we've seen Cal used out of the pen before he found his spot in the rotation.
I just think it'll be more valuable to them as like a seventh or eighth starter still being stretched out. That's just me.
He does have options remaining. And he's not arbitration eligible yet. So he's still making the league minimum. I don't know. He's got 3 years of service time. So I don't think per the rules he can refuse an assignment.
You know what? I'm going Karinchak gets optioned. And I think they option Cal Quantrill to AAA.
I think that's... I don't know.
The fact that Hunter Gaddis is staying up here is weird to me.
I don't know, man. Gaddis has been solid. Whatever he did down in Columbus after his first start this season, whatever he tweaked, worked on, changed in Columbus has made him viable. I mean, he's arguably more viable than Cal right now. I mean, the sample size is kind of small, but...
And he's younger. So
he is.
Don't have...
I don't know if his ceiling is higher than Cal's, though. As a whole,
I think Gaddis can have a nice fastball cutter changeup, like fastball change, like a two pitch. Like that changeup's really, really good. So, and I always thought he played better in the bullpen, played up better in the bullpen.
Do you think we see Tristan McKenzie in the series versus the Twins? Because McKenzie did pitch on Tuesday, which means his next
so they said something weird
that
he went out to the bullpen after the rain, and he threw like another 40 pitches or something like that. So I think he's going to come. Yeah.
Yep. That would have put his pitch total around like 75, 80 total. I don't know. I mean, screw it. Why not? He's got to get his first start somewhere. And I mean, you want to win a game against the Twins, divisional opponent, especially, you know, get the ones that you can now early in the year before everybody's fighting for their lives in a playoff race. McKenzie, I will say this. I've watched his rehab starts. I didn't get to watch the one on Tuesday. His command has looked a little sketchy, but the stuff is still there. His curveball is still money. He's got that rainbow curveball working. His fastball command needs a little bit of work, but he is coming off an injury. Pitchers typically have to refine their command over time and as they get comfortable. I think Sticks will be just fine. And that's it. That's all we have for mailbag this week. It was a short one, and that's good for us this week because...
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, dude. So Chuck and I are both pretty busy. My days have been starting pretty early.
But we hope to get back on Sunday. That's the goal.
Yep, we're going to keep grinding out weekly. Yeah, man. Hopefully a sign of good things to come. Who's the projected starter for tomorrow? Ooh, we got Tanner Bibee bump day.
This is a cool one. Lopez.
Yeah, Pablo Lopez. The could have been guardian.
Yeah.
And the Twins have never faced Bibee before. So their projected lineup has never seen Bibee. So I think this will be interesting. You know, there's a pretty good chance in this game that Bibee goes out. He throws something to what Logan Allen, something similar to what Logan Allen threw on.
Do you think Class A will be available tomorrow? He pitched back-to-back games, but he only threw 9 pitches.
Probably not.
No. All right.
I think tomorrow, if you're in a save situation, Stephen gets the call.
Right. Okay.
But also now, I don't know if Felix Santos is available. It is weird that it's a 4-game series because typically you have an off day right here. And the fact that they don't, it's going to make some of the bullpen management a little weird. You probably will see Nick Sandlin, I would say, tomorrow. They're probably
Morgan.
Eli
Morgan.
Yep. You have Eli Morgan. You'll have Sandlin. Karinchak will be available. Some of your other guys, your backenders we've been seeing, some of those guys probably need a day off, so you're only one out of your 3 setup men right now that's available. It's probably Stephen. So need to hope for at least 6 good innings out of Bibee because Curry pitched today, so he's probably not available to go 3 innings or 2-plus tomorrow. It's going to be interesting. Twins fans were in my mentions today and they were pissing me off. So I really hope that we rip off 3 or 4 against the Twins. So, and I'm going to apologize to y'all. If you guys see the Guardians sweep the Twins on Sunday, I'm going to be insufferable for about an hour after the game ends because I have a crap ton of tweets that I had to bookmark today because Twins fans decided to show up and troll a post. It was a tweet I sent out like 4 days ago and just random quote tweet in my mentions and then boom. Blew up my feed. So let's hope the Guardians can rip it off, close some ground, remind the Twins that they suck and remind their fans that they suck. Need to get it done against Lopez. He's not having a great season. He's 3-3. He's got a 4.11 ERA. He has struck out 81, which is no joke. His ERA is a little high, but I mean, he's still a good pitcher. Commands there, can slice and dice guys. So, well, Chuck, I'm looking forward to talking about a good weekend of baseball with you, but it is late.
Yeah.
We are both
tired.
See you
on Sunday, Zach.
Yes, sir. I will see you Sunday. And that's it for all of us today. And we will see you guys next time.